we start with John 10, verses 14 to 18, which is on page 1076 of the Church Bibles. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. We then move on to verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you will not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
And we now move on to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, and that's on page 1227, if you're following in the Church Bible. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." Amen.
Thank you, bless you both. Just before I launch into this, back in May, I encouraged the church that, having come off the back of spending some time in retreat, really sensed the Lord saying that we need to spend some time listening and discerning what he wants to speak to us as a whole. And there were some prophetic words and pictures and scriptures given, and one of those particularly was from Ezekiel, and was encouraging the church to step out into the river together. And that picture in Ezekiel is the river of life, the river of the Spirit. And so we took all those words and various scriptures together as a leadership team and discerned, well, okay, these words are great, but what's the action point? How do we move forward together as a church if we're believing this is what God is saying to us? And so what we decided would be a good thing to do was that we would have a church away day. Chris, you can put the first slide up. And that's really for your diaries. I announced it at the church meeting, but it's on the 7th of March next year. And we're going to Victoria Baptist because it's one of the very few venues that can both hold a good number to cater for and to have a worship space. Unfortunately, Ashburnham don't do day conferences, and the other conference centre in Pilgrim Hall is no longer operating in that way anymore. And so we're going over there, and we've invited a team already booked from New Wine. And New Wine is a national and international movement of churches, and there's a team coming from London that go out across the country to equip churches just in going deeper and teaching and leading and ministering to us. And so they're going to come on the Sunday morning as well, and it's going to be the church anniversary, and it'll be a joint service. But really, we'll keep putting the information out there, but it's just trying to say, listen, please, can you put this in your diaries? It's going to be a lot of information coming out, but it's going to be just our response to where we believe God is leading us as a church. Well, I was talking quietly at home the other day, and the kids said, Dad, why are you whispering? And I said, I didn't want Mum to hear. And they thought it was really funny, and they started laughing. And then Alexa started laughing too. A young man once lost his job and found himself at real wit's end. And he suddenly remembered, you know, around the corner there's a preacher, there's a pastor that my parents used to go and visit, and it was their pastor. He's a bit older now, but I'm sure he would be able to advise me. And so he goes around for a coffee to this gentleman, and he sits down, and he just says, I'm so frustrated, I don't understand. I've been asking God, you know, to show me the way and what's next, and he's just not listening. I'm really at wit's end. What do I do? And the pastor sort of quietly whispered. And it's like, I can't hear anything. It's like, is this guy talking? So he gets up and he's like, sorry, what did you say? And the older pastor, he just whispered again. I can't hear him at all. And so I'm really sorry, but I can't hear you. And by the time he's saying this, he's walking over and he bends down, he's almost sort of right by him, and he just whispers very quietly. He said, sometimes God whispers so we will move closer to hear him. Communication is key to living and understanding. Every part of who we are, who you are created to be, is designed to communicate, to listen, to respond in various ways. You know, if you are someone who is, maybe you watch one of those programs of an FBI analysis who watches all the body movements, you could sit in the corner and we could all come up with a bit of a profile about ourselves just in regards to our body language. Because we're always saying something. And even if we're not communicating with our body language, our spirits, the sense of who we are, is also communicating. We've all been in those situations where you've met with someone and something seems a bit off, and you've not said anything, but just something doesn't seem right. We all pick up and we're all talking with one another, but also there's another aspect of communication. It's not just about our words and our body language and the things we say or the spirit within us. It's also that sense of character, isn't it? Who you are communicates a lot about you. How people perceive who you are says a lot as well. So if I came up and I was in need and I said, you know what, I'm a short of £100, I need to go and buy something, I'll pay you back tomorrow. You would hear the body language and the words and everything else, but your response is not made up of what you're hearing. It's to do with my character. Also, whether or not you got £100, but you would make that choice based on who I am. In the same way as we're exploring today about hearing God, it's as much to do with our understanding of God's character, who he is, as much as the words and the things we feel, we hear, we sense where the Spirit is leading us. And as we continue to look at our 10-second rule, and if you can just put that on the next page, please, after that one. Next one. If you can, so we've been following the 10-second rule, and we've been building our preaching series and our principle around it, and one of the real fabric, one of the strong points of this, isn't it, is that it has an underlying assumption that you know how to hear God, to discern God's will and voice in your life, in being able to respond and be obedient. And so this morning, we're going to ask two questions. We're going to say, how does that happen? How do we hear the voice of God? And then secondly, we're going to sit there and answer the question, well, how do I know it's the voice of God? How do I know it's Him in my life speaking to me? Well, how does that happen? Next slide, please. How does God speak to us? How does it happen? Well, in John 14, the whole passage is so powerful and rich because Jesus is holding himself up and he's saying, I'm the good shepherd. And that has two inferences, really. It says, in one sense, that I'm not like all the other leaders, like Moses and everyone else, but and I am the one from Ezekiel. I am the good shepherd. I'm not a bad leader. I am a good leader. But it's also about Psalm 23. I am the Lord, you know, your shepherd, who leads you beside quiet waters. That whole imagery of God being the shepherd to the people is being painted here. But Jesus takes it a step further. He said, listen, my sheep know my voice. I look out for my sheep. I lay my life down for my sheep. The whole aspect of that part of John 10 is so profound in affirmation and a sense of when we come into a relationship with Jesus, you belong to him. You have a relationship with him. You will know his voice. There is an expectation of intimate, of true, proper relationship. That as he lays down his life for his sheep, as he gives, as I see what the Father's doing, so all that comes into our relationship. And Paul begins to echo that in Romans 8:16, when he says, when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, it affirms what? Oops. It affirms, sorry, John. Two things. It affirms that sense of spirit of adoption that you belong to Jesus, that is affirmed right here. Something within you becomes alive to the sense that I belong to the family of God. But also, he says, he cry, Abba, Father, that there is a response, a relationship, something within us that communes with it. And that's because we have two profound things happen to us in our Christian life. One, the Spirit comes into us. It meets us with our spirit. We're born again. Something within us becomes alive. We're regenerated. That hope within our hearts that we've been singing about bursts on the scene. And that's because of what Paul writes in Ephesians, that he removed, Jesus, every barrier to have that relationship. He says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Do you feel alive? It's like Frankenstein. Do you feel alive this morning? Is there a pulse of the love of God in you? Is there a sense of the hope in your heart this morning? Because that's what Paul says. When you become a Christian, you are made alive inside you. The Spirit is flowing through you. When Jesus died on that cross, he connected us with the right relationship. He removed the barrier of sin. And we can know the love of the Father. We can know the need of the Savior. The Holy Spirit is deposited to us. We're given that power to flow and be regenerated, to be made clean and whole, to be led by him. You know, the older I get, and I can say that because I'm getting more gray hair these days, the older I get and I think about that connection with God, the more I realize I need it in every area of my life. Every small thing, every big thing. I need that connection. I need the grace and the Spirit of God in all things, in every aspect of who I am, what I do, what I say. You know, when I was first driving my first car, I wonder what your first car was. My first car was a Nissan Micra Colette 1989. I knew that car inside out. I changed its spark plugs. I drove everywhere with it, and eventually the cam belt went and the whole thing broke and I was devastated. But you know, that car was so old that the radio didn't have FM. In fact, I had to put a coat hanger in the bit because the aerial broke off, and then I had to replace it again when I went through the car wash. And you had only medium wave and long wave, and you pressed the buttons on there, and it sort of had these preset programs, but they were never, as the car got older, were never quite properly aligned. And so you always end up with this distorted sound, and you sort of had to tweak it, and just trying to find where there was a decent radio station in between. And you know what? Our lives can be a lot like that within ourselves and with our inner spirit. That sense of loss of connection, because all of us have this thing where, you know what, yeah, I know, I recognize there's a need of God, but we're so adamant sometimes about going it in our own way. We fall into the patterns where we place ourselves out of the connection of the grace and the Spirit and the love of God, because we start to step into our own things. And then all of a sudden, something within our inner world, something with the connections around us, it becomes a bit, it gets a bit distorted. And if we're not connected to the cross, if we're not connected to Jesus, if we're not connected to the life of the Spirit, then we begin to try and look for other ways. Maybe it's in the relationship of a loved one. Maybe it's in the kids. Maybe it's in our career, in the finances. Maybe it's trying to find the next greatest holiday to have the ultimate experience that brings happiness, that fills that void in our hearts. We need that deep realization of everything to find that connection, that need of a Savior. Paul, who was an amazing man of God, but what did he say when we looked at Romans 7 and we got to the end? As we saw that conflict within him, he said, "What a wretched person I am. Who will rescue me?" And he talks later on, he says, "I'm the worst of sinners." Paul realized his need of a Savior, need of connection, need of something, need of God to plug into his life and to make him alive, to flow. And the reason I'm talking about that is because when we are connected, when we are connected to the life and our hearts, life of Christ, and our hearts rest in him, And we're in that rhythm of walking with the Lord and spending time and listening and waiting and seeking, we should in those moments expect God to speak to us. It's the expectation in John 10, but it's also the expectation when you read Acts 10 as well. Remember, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago when the BMS speaker came and he talked about Peter's vision. And three times the vision, God speaking to him in a vision. But did you catch the second time that God spoke? Chris, if you want to move the slide down, please. And again. It says this, after he's seen the vision, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So go up and go downstairs. Get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Now I read that verse and I think, was that audible? Was God like on the side with a little sort of cone? You know, we used to sort of pick up the traffic cones. Was he there sort of speaking out to Simon in a big booming voice that he heard that was audible? Well, there are times that I've known people who've heard God audibly. Was it a mind's eye thing? Did God speak to him in the power of it through his thoughts and it just illuminated more? Was it something of such a deep impression of a voice across his heart that he couldn't shake it? Well, we don't know. But as we think about the 10-second rule this morning, as we continue in our series about being obedient, hearing the voice of the Spirit and acting upon it, the common thing I find in following the lead of the Spirit in my life when God is speaking is not so much an audible voice, but it's more that sense of a deep impression at times. It's not just someone coming to mind. It's someone coming, but there's a sense of not a godly heaviness, of like, I need to act upon this. There's a concern. There's something in my heart that moves with compassion. There's a love that stretches out and says, no, I need to stop what I'm doing and call. I need to go and speak. I need to walk across the other room and go meet with this person. Sometimes you might be driving down the road and you could be going past someone's house and it's not just, oh, I wonder how they're doing, but wow, just maybe I'll go knock on their door to say I was thinking of you. The text, there's just something about the Spirit leading us within our inner being that draws us to think and act in a particular way. And sometimes when God is speaking to me, if I'm having my quiet times, or maybe if I'm in the shower and I'm just meditating, I'm thinking over different things, there may be a sentence, there may be a word, there might be a picture from the Holy Spirit planted into my mind that just dwells and it sits deeper, and maybe I can't shake it, and then like Peter's vision, it comes back again. Maybe other people come up and speak, or it's a word from Scripture that is just so imbued with God's voice and soaking that I need to reflect upon it and maybe live it out or share it or see where it's calling me. God speaks through the creativity of creation. He knows us, he makes us, he's made us. And there may be other things that you identify in your own life that God speaks through, that reaches your heart, that leads you. But our main question really is, how do I know? How do I know it is the voice of God speaking to me? How do I know that impression isn't just a desire, that actually I have a real longing because it's a good friend of mine and I'm always concerned about them? How do I discern between the difference of that leading and something else? And knowing that actually it's a call of God on my life and through me, and I'm not being overtaken. And it's interesting when you look at the Bible, because the early church clearly had this issue in one form or another too. Because you go to 1 John 4, and he clearly says, listen, don't believe every spirit. And he clarifies that a little bit further, because he says, actually, the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, we know in Thessalonians, Paul draws that out a little bit more, and he says, listen, the spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of lawlessness. And the spirit of lawlessness is anything that goes against the moral law, against the fabric of nature, against God's character, his personality, his words. And so anything that moves in that opposite direction, ultimately and fundamentally, is what needs to be discerned. Where is this taking me? What is this saying? Does it fit with the sense of where God has made things, the character of God, the nature of God, the word of God? Because you might sit there and think, you know what, it's bonfire season tonight. And you know, East Sussex is born of dissenters. The whole of Sussex is. And you might look at the situation going on in Parliament and a voice comes into your head, you know what, Guy Fawkes got it wrong last time. Maybe this time I could do the rest of the country a favour. Everyone will love me. It won't be an act of tyranny. And maybe I can go and function off and work some things around that. And that's what I can do. You laugh, but some people have acted in accordance with what they thought was the voice of God and have done horrible things because of the spirit of lawlessness, because it moves in an opposite direction. Our government and our politicians need our prayers on that note, as I mentioned them. We need to pray for our nation's leaders. We need to pray that personality doesn't trump all things. When it comes to the high office, we need people with deep integrity to lead well and to be a servant heart and to be those who work for unity. Our country needs us as Christians to stand and heal the divide spiritually, I believe. But to know this morning whether God is speaking to us and how we decide between the two, I want to give five things, five principles of a test that we can lay down of how do we discern, how do we know that we can relate this to the 10-second rule in our life, and how we can know the way forward. And these five principles are going to be up on the screen. Chris, if you can just keep skipping down. I think I've raced ahead a little bit. That's it. So number one, is it consistent with the Bible? You may think that's really obvious. And in some ways it is, but actually does, in better context, what am I being asked, does it fit in with the whole story of salvation? Not just picking and choosing bits of scripture, but does it fit within the whole context of the saving grace of God and the regeneration of this world and the hope that God speaks into our life through Christ? Does it pick up in what the apostles taught and fit in? Because it's very easy in today's society to fall into the trap of, yeah, okay, I know the Bible's there and it paints a certain picture of God, but I want to create my own God, thank you. I want to pick a little bit over here and a little bit over there, and I want to pick something over there, and I'll gel them all together. And really what's happening is, as you create that mix of all the things that you like, you're creating a God in your own image. A God that you like, a God that's not going to challenge you, a God that's going to be fit into your little box of your world and how you live your life. But a God that is laid down in Scripture, that you wrestle with, that you challenges you, that contradicts you, that asks you to step out of your comfort zone, bits where I'm not sure I'm really having to engage with this. A God like that is someone not created in your own image. And so when you try to understand the character and the nature of God and the fact that he's not you, And he's bigger and he's different and he thinks differently. Then that's why we go to the Bible and we understand the nature, the character and what we're hearing. Secondly, on the screen here, will it make you more like Christ? Paul says in Ephesians 4:11, we are becoming mature, attaining to the full measure of Christ. Is what I'm being asked to do, the person's life that I'm speaking into, the direction that I'm being asked to go, is it making me more like Jesus? Does it set me in that way that actually this is what Jesus would do? This is what Jesus would say. This is the character of Jesus in this situation. Thirdly, is it consistent with how God shaped me? Nope. Thirdly, does my church family confirm it? Not does my pastor confirm it. I don't mind you coming to me for advice. It's a good thing that we share advice together, but it's about the church family. We know we're all different kinds of gifts, different kinds of experience, different kinds of background. If I need financial help, or if someone else needs financial help, I'm sorry, but I'm not the person probably to talk to. It's not my strong point, but in the realm of the church, there are other people who can handle and know about these things even better that we can come and talk to and just say, well, I'm thinking about giving a gift like this. Is this the best way? Sometimes a word may come to us and we need to just discern it with someone else because it might be the right thing, but how we go about it needs to be worked through sometimes. And while the 10-second rule is a principle, it's not a law from Jesus or a command. If you sit there and say, I'll write down my 10-second thought, an act of obedience, but I'm going to go and check it out with someone, that's okay. It's not sinful to do that. It's good practice. Fourthly then, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? If I hear a voice speaking, a leading, a prompting from the Spirit, and it's being asked to shape me into someone I'm not, then it's not going to be from the Lord. C.S. Lewis rightly said that in our Christian discipleship, we're not being made clones, but we're seeking the fullest expression in our walk with Jesus in who God has made us to be, in His image. Because we're all created wonderfully and differently, and there are some things that if God is calling you to do, will crush your soul. If someone this morning comes from the back and says, you know what, Dave, I've got a word from the Lord. I really sense there's a movement of the Spirit, and for your life particularly, you need to give Sue in the office a week off, and you need to do all her admin work for that week. Well, I know that would kill me. It's not that I couldn't do it, but my soul would shrink within inside me. People would find me deeply grumpy. My family wouldn't want me to be at home my wife's laughing because she knows it's true. It's not who God has made me to be. God doesn't pick us up and put us in places where we are not, where He calls us not to flourish. It might be hard, it might be tough, but if it's completely out of step with who you are, guess what? I don't think it's the voice of God leading you. There might be some things we're called to do because we can do them, we have the ability, but to plant ourselves in a situation where our soul withers away, you've got to really ask that question, is that right? No, thank you. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, I want to be really clear on this one, because as we talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit, and in church life particularly, this one is one that I think laid most heavily upon my heart for us to respond with. Chris, next one, thank you. Is it convicting rather than condemning? I'm sure this morning we can go around the room and we've probably had instances with different people in our church life and maybe in our home life and upbringing where either people have spoken the word of Lord, thus saith the Lord, I've got this word for you, or people have spoken with ungodly intention and actually it's imprisoned us and we've held on to something or something of a word of a direction in our life, and it's locked us in self-imprisonment or a sense of condemnation. And we need to know the difference between conviction that leads to life. The work of the Spirit has come to convict us of our sin so that we can be free from sin and we can know the power of the resurrection and the cross and the Spirit within us. But if we have a word that condemns us, if we have something that locks over us, and sometimes this can happen in Christian circles, if we start reaching out and say, well, I really feel the Lord has put a word on my heart, and someone comes over and shares and you respect them and it sounds right. But we need to weigh up in our minds, where's the trajectory? Does it lead to a sense of conviction? Am I being challenged to be a better, more mature person in Christ? Or is it actually imprisoning my inner being, my relationship with God? Does it cut me off? Paul said in Galatians, when he talks in the beginning in chapter 5 of the life of the Spirit, he said it is, on the words on the screen, please, Chris. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now we know in Matthew chapter 11 when Jesus says to take upon my yoke, what he means is his teaching. And so when Paul sits there and says this, and it's for freedom that Christ has set you free, stand firm, don't let yourselves be burdened, don't let yourselves be trapped, don't let yourselves come under the sense of condemnation from a teaching, an idea, or something that imprisons your life. Because that's what slavery does. It binds you, it withers you, it holds you back. It doesn't allow you to flourish in the freedom that Christ has paid for you. And some of us in our lives have had words, have had things spoken over us that aren't true. Things that have held on to our spirit and our soul that need to be cut off, that need to be prayed against. We need the work of the Spirit to find that connection again, to allow us to flourish, to be alive, to know that truth in our walk with the Lord, that we can know and we can hear, and we're not hitting the ceiling, we're not being pulled down, we're not being turned to one side because we're bound somewhere. We need releasing, convicting of these things, and cutting off in the power of the Spirit. So just a recap of those five things. We're going to have some time for this. Firstly, is it consistent with the Bible? Will it make me more like Christ? Does my church family confirm it? Is it consistent with how God shaped me? Is it convicting rather than condemning? We've been speaking this morning about finding our connection through Christ, through Him. And when we're connected with God, we're alive and the Spirit comes in us. We're refueled, we're inflamed, we're impassioned. The Spirit is working with us. Even when it's tough, the Spirit is there. And secondly, we're looking at this discernment principle. If God is speaking to me, if I'm connecting and there's this expectation of relationship and hearing Him, how do I know? How can I be clear and discern the way forward? And we've pulled out those principles. But this morning I've chosen two songs and some space specifically so that we can find and again come into that reconnection with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here, folks. God wants to move and pour His grace upon your lives. And so we're choosing two songs that echo that sense of hunger, of desire, of coming to meet with Him, finding that connection again. But we're going to give some space, because I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray for a cutting off. And maybe in our minds and something in our hearts might set, well then we're going to have some space and time in the Holy Spirit. If you want prayer, we'll pray. You can come forward to the front, you can do that. If you want to minister and allow the Spirit just to work in you where you are, maybe it's just that Abba Father cry again of belonging needs to be stirred up again. Then let that happen. Let God do what God wants to do. Then we'll finish with the last song. So let me pray, and then I'll hand over and we'll sing together. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus, that it is by your grace and your goodness and your love act towards us that by your wounds we are healed, that you have cut off the debt of sin. You've disarmed the powers of Satan. Lord, you have won a great cross at a great price. And Lord, we want to hold that high, lift high the cross and the work of the Spirit that is born in our hearts, Lord, that sets us free. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and we can know true liberty. And I pray this morning, Lord, where words have been spoken over to us that remain, Lord, where unforgiveness sits, Lord, where our spirits have been wounded, Lord, would you heal? Would you cut off in Jesus' name the bonds that hold us down? And will we be liberated with that sense of the Spirit speaking words of power and life? May we become alive in Christ again. In Jesus' name, amen. Whether you want to stand or sit, it's up to you, but let's respond in song. And if you want to just let the words wash over you and allow yourself just to respond as the Spirit leads. But let's stand or sit as you wish. Thank you.